Good morning. The Palestine Exception is a Portland-based documentary film directed by PSU faculty Jan Hocken and Jennifer Ruth. The film features professors and students as they join calls for a ceasefire and divestment from companies that do business with Israel and face waves of crackdown from administrators, the media, the police, and politicians. Scholars from diverse disciplines explain what is at stake in these protests and why so many young people identify with the Palestinian cause. The documentary unfolds as a story of college campuses as sites of both rebellion and repression, places where personal and collective histories converge in unexpected ways. This morning, I talk with co-director Jennifer Ruth about the film and responses so far at screenings on campuses across the U.S. Jennifer Ruth is a professor in the School of Film at Portland State University and co-author of two books on academic freedom with Michael Berube, including It's Not Free Speech, Race, Democracy, and the Future of Academic Freedom, that was published in 2022. In May 2024, Jennifer Ruth joined co-director Jan Hocken on the Old Mole Variety Hour to talk about attacks on academic freedom. She had this to say about the Palestine exception.
It's a pretty well-known phrase, the Palestine exception to academic freedom and free speech in academic freedom circles. It's widely used, even by people who are not particularly invested in human rights or justice for Palestinians. And the common use of the phrase speaks to the wide acknowledgement that speech and scholarship around Israel-Palestine is handled differently in the U.S. than other speech and scholarship, and that Palestine and advocacy for Palestine has long served as the limit case for acceptable political advocacy. The phrase draws our attention to the fact that while the law might theoretically protect the right to advocate for Palestinian freedom, powerful social forces will not only punish those who do, they will also punish those who don't act quickly enough to crush pro-Palestinian advocates. And we've seen this since October. Suspensions and expulsions of students who spoke out, the revocation of job offers that were made once students speak out on behalf of Palestine, the doxing campaigns in New York, calling people who have advocated for stopping the genocide anti-Semites. We've seen the Palestine exception in practice over the last half year.
This Sunday, January 26th at 4 p.m., the Palestine Exception film will make its theatrical debut at Cinema 21. The screening at Cinema 21 will be followed by a panel and a Q&A moderated by Marlene Eide, producer and psychology faculty member at Portland Community College, panelist Stephanie Wahab, professor of social work at PSU, and Hannah Alsgal, a Portland State University alum featured in the film, along with the film's directors. Good morning, Jennifer Ruth. Welcome to KBOO.
Thanks for having me.
I want to again congratulate you and the crew. The Palestine Exception is a terrific film, and it is great to have you back on the Old Mole to talk again about this really important film. Post-completion and leading up to its theatrical debut on Sunday, January 26th, that's 4 p.m. at Cinema 21, tickets for this screening are available online. There'll be a panel discussion to follow, and we'll give more details at the end of the program about that screening. So Jennifer, I wanted to start with how you came to take up this project. You co-directed the film, The Palestine Exception, with Jan Hocken. She's professor emeritus of psychology at PSU and a documentary filmmaker. She's also one of our very own Old Mole Collective members. So start there. Tell us how you came together on this and took this project up.
Yeah, so I am a professor in the School of Film at Portland State. And I was doing a class that had a fair number of documentaries. And we have both production classes and criticism theory. We call them film studies classes. But we like to create bridges between the two sides of the program wherever possible. And I knew about Jan's work as a documentarian. So I invited her to my class. And I do work, in addition to writing about literature and film, I do work on academic freedom and higher ed issues. And when the red state attacks on critical race theory, when the legislation was getting passed around so-called divisive concepts, I got very involved in that battle because it's an attack on academic freedom, saying what can be taught and what can't. And they were going after
faculty who taught critical race theory. So I got very involved in that fight, and I reached out to Jan and asked if she'd be interested in making a documentary based in Texas, because everyone was focused on Florida, but interesting stuff was happening in Texas. And she said yes, and we started to work. But then after 10/7, we really quickly pivoted because the Palestine exception began to be enforced. People were only supposed to, of course, reference the hostages and what happened on 10/7 and not speak up about the disproportionate war violence and the collective punishment, or even teach about. Then, tensions escalated really fast, and the propaganda machines around trying to demean students and faculty who use terms like settler colonialism, trying to erase some of the history there and not talk about it. So we pivoted and started to work on this. And we wanted to talk to scholars, student activists too, but scholars who could really sort of educate the public about the Palestine issue.
It seems that the student movements really bubbled to the top. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But as the film has been screening on campuses, how has the Palestine exception been received?
Yeah, so just quickly to mention, this is a kind of love letter to the student movement. It was the encampments, it was the protests, it was the die-ins that students organized across the country. And if you were just reading some press outlets, you would think it was only the most elite Ivy universities. That's not true. All across the country, students were organizing to speak out about the genocide. And so this is a kind of love letter to them, and that they knew what they were doing and they were on the right side of history. But we couldn't really focus so much on students because they're under so much scrutiny, and they were under so much scrutiny last year and being called up on charges of anti-Semitism, disciplinary investigations. So while we do have some footage of student protest encampments, and we have some student activists who felt courageous enough to be interviewed, we have a lot of scholars, but it's student groups mostly that seem to be really excited to screen the film. So the reception from students has been really gratifying because, you make a film and you think it's a love letter to the students, but you have to prepare to be told you did this wrong, you misrepresented this, you just. But that's not been the case. We've had a really, really warm reception from students where they feel really validated and recognized, and they're exhausted. And they're, some of them are under suspension, some of them are dealing with fines. And so this kind of helps give them some of their energy back. And so that's been really a very great feeling.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. It's a really nice way of putting it too, as well. Giving some love for what it means to put yourself out in that situation for young people who are at risk of losing a lot,
Oh,
really.
yeah. What's kind of beautiful about the students is when I start to mention, they may not be able to graduate and they have student debt, and or they may have a job offer revoked, like we saw at NYU when some of the law school students found law firms revoked their offers. So the stakes are really high for the students. And one of the most amazing things about them is every time I will mention that, they will say, yes, but that doesn't compare to the scholasticide and the deaths in Gaza. They have a really amazing sense of perspective.
Glad you said that, because I would have said the same, that there is perspective there. We can go down rabbit holes about what it means to acknowledge your privilege or revoke it of your own accord, but that's absolutely true, that by comparison, what's being lost is telling us a story about where we are and about why the Palestine exception is so devastating. Let's move back to this question about the screenings, because I can't imagine it's been all rosy. You're about to embark on some maybe less controlled environments, and I'm curious about how that's been in terms of scheduling screenings in places that are not on campuses.
Right. The film was just finished at the end of November, and we did a couple of campuses in December. We did PSU in late November, and then in December, we went to Duke, UNC Chapel Hill, and Brown. And it was interesting at those places to learn of slight, not slight, actually, big differences in the groups that had been active and speaking up against the genocide. That was very interesting. So, for example, at UNC Chapel Hill, students really drove it. At Duke, the faculty were organizing the screening, and the faculty were saying, our students are pretty passive. And it was also interesting to be to learn that, for example, that Duke was starting to actually use that as a kind of pitch for recruiting students. We are a safe campus, right? Because of the whole misrepresentation, misinformation around danger and threats for it during pro-Palestinian protests. So that was very interesting. But as far as our reception goes, it was all warm and welcoming on all of those fronts. We are about to start to have new kinds of venues, community groups that maybe rent a theater. And then we also have the Cinema 21. So we're about to sort of embark, like you say, on a broader audience that we may experience more pushback, more people coming for Q&As to precisely to accuse us of being anti-Israel, the film of being anti-Israel. So, for example, we're really, really pleased that Cinema 21 is showing this. They have a poster about it outside and inside. They've used our trailer alongside trailers for the movies that they're going to screen. So they've been really out front with it, and they haven't shied away from it at all. And they have received complaints. They have received questions like, is this an advocacy film? Is this an anti-Israel film? And it's really heartwarming that because it is a big risk. It is a big risk for a small business or a community organization that depends on a broad support. It is a big risk. That's why it's a Palestine exception, because lobbying groups and different organizations can come together and can do emails and petitions and all kinds of things to make it hard for these small businesses and community organizations. We're really grateful to Cinema 21. And there are other theaters that people are looking to rent and theaters who are interested in showing it. And Cinema 21 will be the first to sort of lay the groundwork for that and show that it can be done.
That's great. We'll have to make sure that we encourage people to support Cinema 21 and others who may come along and do the same. In terms of the organizing, in terms of the movements themselves, students have returned to campus. There's not a slowing down, it seems, of these organizing efforts. What are you seeing out there in terms of how those strategies, tactics may be changing, shifting? To battle against some of the repression that they experienced last year. What are you seeing out there?
Well, I am seeing some slowing down because they took so many hits at the over late spring and summer. So a lot of the disciplinary investigations started up at late spring. The consequences, the unfair, unjust consequences for protesting, they became clear at the end of spring. So there's a lot of hesitation, but there's also a determination, and I think there's also an intention to keep focusing on divestment as an issue. And there's also a determination to not stop, but there's all kinds of new rules. For example, they enforce rules around time, manner, place. Campuses enforce these rules in a much more dramatic fashion than they did last year. And actually, they did it in ways last year too that they hadn't done previously, which is the Palestine exception to enforce rules that are kind of technicalities or formalities, enforce them in the case of some protests, but not others. So that had already happened, but now they're broadcasting their time, manner, place restrictions everywhere, getting that in front of students' eyes. In some places, I'm sure they're making students consent to these time, manner, place restrictions through some kind of form that they have to sign. And it's things like you can't use a bullhorn, you have to get prior permission for anything over a certain number of people. You can only use certain spaces. So it makes it really, really difficult. So, for example, some students did a die-in recently at Portland State, and it was incredibly moving because they'd simply just read names of Palestinians who had been killed. Many of them were between 0 and 3 years old. And so it was heartbreaking. They had a bullhorn, and it was inside a building, and they were not super loud. And I know they got admonished for the bullhorn. It's not clear to me whether or not there's going to be any further consequences. They're more trepidatious. And I do think that faculty need to step up a little more this year because students have borne the brunt. On the other hand, at the end of last year, only one tenured faculty that we were aware of had been fired for reposting things that were critical of Zionism. Now, Catherine Franke, whose case had been ongoing all of last year, she's at Columbia, I believe. She's been pushed out, and she has a statement on the AAUP blog about being pushed out. And so faculty dismissals are becoming more visible, and that, of course, is going to chill faculty speech. And of course, last year, those were the two tenured cases, but there were many non-tenure track faculty who were not rehired, were not renewed, or were even taken out of the classroom mid-quarter, mid-semester. So it's a tough time. I think people are also bracing for what is it going to be like under this new Department of Education led by a wrestling business executive under the Trump administration. There's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, I don't know really what to make of that. And I think the last time we talked, we had just finished the election. It's deepened in my brain a little bit more. So, well,
Exactly. Yeah.
with our last minute here, I wanted to just have you let folks know, other than Cinema 21, where might screenings be happening locally? I know that the film is being shown more widely, and folks can go to the Palestine Exception website for lots of information, including articles, videos, talks. It's a really fabulous website, so I encourage people to go check it out. But let us know, where else folks might be able to see the film.
Oh, so I guess I misspoke when I said it's only been campuses until the Cinema 21, because actually we had a wonderful virtual screening that was run by the Palestine Museum out of Connecticut. And this director, he's very well connected, been in the movement for a long time, has a huge reach. Many progressive Jewish people come to his talks, and he shows different films. He has an exhibition in London right now, and he's going to be screening the film on a loop. It's art. It's art about Palestine or art by Palestinians. But he's actually going to be screening the loop in London, the film on a loop. He had two virtual screenings, but going forward, we are having one. We're excited about one at Hunter College in New York, part of the CUNY system, because Hunter students and Hunter faculty are featured in the film. Those were the first footage that we shot. So it feels like coming full circle. The People's Forum in New York is also going to be showing it. And then there's lots of campus screenings in the mix and community organizations, JVP chapters, both on campuses and off. Churches have shown interest, have submitted requests. So we're just trying to keep up with the requests that come in and help people organize screenings, which is really gratifying. One of the things that's coming up, there's a Coalition for Action in Higher Ed, which is a group that I've been a part of. It's about all the attacks on higher education. But the Coalition of Higher Ed Steering Committee asked that our film be the kickoff for a week of events around the attacks on higher ed. So I love the way that the Palestine Exception will be centered at the very beginning of a week of activities and actions and other kinds of events around standing up for academic freedom and free speech.
That's great. It's so good to hear. Jennifer Ruth, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Old Mole for KBOO Radio, and good luck out there. And I hope to actually find my way to a screening soon.
I'd love to see you at Cinema 21.
All right, I'm going to try.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks to Jennifer Ruth, co-director with Jan Hocken of the Palestine Exception film. A reminder that this film will make its theatrical debut at Cinema 21 this coming Sunday, January 26th at 4 p.m. We recommend that you get tickets online in advance. The film will be followed by a panel and a Q&A moderated by Marlene Ide, producer and psychology faculty member at Portland Community College, and panelist Stephanie Wahab, professor of social work at PSU, Hannah Alsgall, a PSU alum who is featured in the film, and the film directors. They'll all be there to chat with you about the film. Again, get tickets online in advance. It's really worth getting out and seeing this film. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour.